much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Good morning, colleagues, coworkers, friends. Everyone feeling normal today?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, ladies. My name is Stuart. With me, my best mate, Wade.
Right there.
Hi, Wayne.
Wade.
Wade, yeah, as in Roe versus Wade. That's a famous case about a woman's right to term.
They know what it is. No need to bring up abortion. Do we need to?
My wife just asked for a separation after 11 years.
It's getting a bit gloomy again straight away. Maybe head to the bar.
No, that's
please,
okay.
Ladies, it's our pleasure. Get to the bar, sir.
I'm the god of hell's fire, and I bring you fire.
I appreciate it. No, I do listen, and that's why I want to punch Petros in the neck.
Save that tape for tomorrow.
No, he and I are going to be together someday in a dark alley, and these small hands are going to come at him like a badger.
That's right.
Like a badger?
And now,
do you love Bean's nipple?
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
Our feature presentation.
He's nicer than I was. Allowing it.
You just said a few minutes ago that you miss Bean's nipple.
Hairless.
Okay.
And there it was.
I heard it.
Bean's hairless nipple. Yeah.
What's that about?
Right?
No, what's that about you missing it?
Oh, I don't know.
Good question, Allie.
I think I saw the picture.
Usually
on my
you like younger men.
It's my screensaver. So
okay. Understandable.
Right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of March.
By the way, I think you were out on one of your month-long sabbaticals. You probably hadn't heard that tape with Chris Harrison calling out Petras either.
Oh, I did not. I assumed that was from before.
That was from a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Talked about meeting him in an alley with his badger hands.
I love it.
That's a pay-per-view I would enjoy very much. Hey, did you mention it is Wednesday?
Yeah.
And did you mention it is the whatever?
22nd March, 20. Yes.
22nd, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a very brief story to get us started with. Very brief because there are very few details about this story. But what?
Is that on? Just checking.
Yeah. But I am all – this could be my new Malaysian Airlines plane.
Oh, God, no.
My new three-year obsession.
Bean gets obsessed with something and talks about nothing else for years.
This is all I care about. You guys have heard about the ghost plane, right?
No.
No.
Although I like the name of it.
Ghost plane, you guys.
What is the ghost plane, Bean?
A plane was rented in Michigan – by a University of Michigan student who mapped out – it's a Cessna 172, and he mapped out a flight plan where he was going to fly from Ann Arbor, where the university is, to Harbor Springs, Michigan, about 400 miles away. The plane overshot and somehow landed up in the northern province of Ontario in Canada. So the plane went missing. And I think – again, details are very sketchy, but –
Yes, it crashed. Okay.
What I have been able to piece together is that somebody saw the plane go down, and authorities were alerted, and they went out on a search party for the plane. And the next day, the next morning, because this was at 11:30 at night, the next morning they found the plane. And the plane had crashed into the snowy mountain, and there was no pilot on board the plane. Hence ghost plane, by the way.
Now, the pilot couldn't have gotten out after the crash?
There were no footprints or tracks of any kind in the snow around the plane, and it had not been snowing to have been covered up.
Because Jesus carried him.
Because Jesus carried him.
That's not how that story goes.
No?
There's always one foot of
sand. Dang it! Yes.
So the plane, first of all, had a flight plan A to B.
Right.
Jesus flew with him.
Shot past that. Crashed in Canada, no pilot in the plane, no indication of anyone ever around the plane. The pilot is gone.
I'm going to say...
Please.
Parachuted out.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to say just took the plane up and just jumped.
And just decided to let it crash, put it on autopilot and just let it crash. By the way, it was in the autopilot mode and it had run out of gas.
Heaven.
Right.
Okay, so if that's the case...
Why did you just call me yesterday,
Dean?
I could have given you the answer.
Alleviated all this thought for you.
Right?
Because what Kevin just said is what is as assumed to have happened. But why and where is the young man who may be faking his own death.
All right.
Oh, I love this story.
Now it's getting better.
Right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Is he in some kind of legal trouble?
They are. They are investigating and releasing very few details. In fact, they have not even released his name yet. But did he bail out of the plane over Lake Michigan? Did he bail out of the plane with in a parachute somewhere and had a plan and had somebody meeting him and knew where he was going and has a new ID? What's going on with this kid? Like, this is a weird thing to do, because why do you fake your own death? You fake your own death to get away from your life, mm-hmm. and you don't need to go through this elaborate charade.
Your girlfriend is for that stage five clinger.
Yeah.
You got that going on.
Right.
Or you're trying to get some sort of payout, some sort of insurance money. You fake your own death because you're trying to get money for your family or for whoever you leave it to.
Could be, but I doubt that.
I doubt that, too.
This guy's in trouble.
Yeah, he's running from something.
But what and why and how and where is he now and what does he do and what's the next step? And tell me about the ghost plane.
He's got to know.
No. I really do have to know. It is one of the weirdest mysteries in a while here.
It's not. Okay. I feel like it is a mystery, but it doesn't seem like if there's a perfectly valid option,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, it's the, less of a mystery.
But the valid option opens up more questions.
Right.
Look, if the guy jumped out of the plane and died, end of story. If the guy jumped out of the plane and lived, I've got a million questions.
Yeah, I assumed he had a parachute.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I mean, and because the bulk of the travel time was over Lake Michigan, they're never going to find that body if he didn't. If it was a suicide,
right? That's
they're never going to find that body.
That's a lot of steps for a suicide.
Right?
It is.
It's easier ways.
unless it's something to do with insurance money. But what college age student has that much insurance, too, by the way? That's another thing. This isn't
Probably
a rich...
I said there's easier
I
ways.
I did, and then I immediately made the sign of the cross, and I feel horrible for saying that.
There's easier ways.
Don't do that.
But you're absolutely
that.
Right.
No, don't do it.
But look, that runs through your mind, too, is who goes to this much trouble to commit suicide?
I feel like he had a test. And he was just
That's
like,
it?
I got to get it. Just a test. A
wow.
really hard one,
I'm
going
to fake my own death
yes.
because I'm not ready for a test.
Yes.
Well,
that's the pressure college kids are under.
And it's March, so it's just a midterm. I mean,
right?
He really,
it's not even like a final.
Right. What a pussy.
What a loser. I hate this guy.
You're glad he's dead.
I am so glad he's in the water.
Well, I do hope that details come out about him and who he is, and we start getting the pieces together, because that's when it's going to get super interesting, is when people start coming forward and they start talking about other weird stuff that's going on with this kid.
He's got to know.
No.
So I will definitely keep you posted on the ghost plane.
All right.
I am all in.
I'm perfectly good with the trying to avoid the test. I feel like that's a good answer, and I'm done with the story. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
I don't know how, and I don't know where, and I don't know any other details, but I am taking you down.
Okay. We have some more opening act contestants for April Foolishness.
We might, if Omar gets out of the traffic jam that he's in to get here.
We might have that today.
Right.
We also have tickets for April Foolishness so that you can go. And we have your final Kevin and Bean's March Kabow Bow singles party tickets. Because it's this weekend. So today is the final day. It's also Wednesday. That means we've got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, Janky Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Gates, who is the host of Expedition Unknown.
Is that it? Not Destination Unknown or... No, you're saying it right
I'm
now.
I'm saying it right, right?
Now,
okay.
Yes.
Because yesterday I said it wrong about eight times. So
hey, what did you call the...
I believe that's it.
Singles party? What is it?
You heard me.
But one more time. It's like the last day, so it should be...
It's the March of Cabala, yeah.
Oh. All right.
We'll be right back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
I know Allie is here, and it's time for the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman this morning. But can I borrow a few seconds from you, Allie? Do you mind?
Take all the time you need.
Wait, ask what it's for.
What is it for, Bean?
Kevin wasn't here mm-hmm. for our listener from Scotland who weighed in
last
week.
Take all the time you need, Bean.
Kiez was his name, if I recall correctly, right, Alan?
Yes, Kiez Pesto.
All right, so, Kevin, remember before you left, I came on and I did one of my little opening of the show stories about a lost dog, about a dog that had got away and a couple that had canceled their wedding, or at least postponed their wedding to look for their dog. Right?
Yes.
And you and if I'm being honest, most of the listeners found the story pretty boring. And you kept trying to interrupt it by playing dumb music and whatnot. Well,
How dare you?
We got a video sent to us from a listener, a podcast listener in Scotland, who was furious that I wasted his time with that story, yet hailing you as a hero for trying to stop it. And I think you'll enjoy his tape very much.
Bean, goddammit, when you have to walk home from work in Scotland, it's cold and miserable and boring enough. I thought, I'll just chuck on last Friday's Kevin and Bean show. Haven't heard it yet. Friday shows tend to be pretty awesome. And then, goddamn you, that dog story. What the hell was that dog story? Kevin, you're a goddamn hero for that sad music. A goddamn hero. Bean, fix your goddamn life. Goddamn.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Right, I'm a hero.
He's not wrong.
Right.
Kevin, do you want to hear it again?
I would love to hear it again.
Yes, play it
again.
We
have time.
Because we had to listen to 2 times to really take in the wonderfulness of him. Kevin's only heard it once.
Now I gotta find it again.
This is so good. How many times do I get called a hero?
Right.
Right?
And Bean, fix your goddamn life. It's my
Bean,
favorite.
God damn it, when you have to walk home from work in Scotland, it's cold and miserable and boring enough. I thought, I'll just chuck on last Friday's Kevin and Bean show. Haven't heard it yet. Friday shows tend to be pretty awesome. And then, god damn you, that dog story. What the hell was that dog story? Kevin, you're a goddamn hero for that sad music. A goddamn hero. Bean! Fix your goddamn life. Goddamn.
This music I was playing. Who knew that? Who me playing that music saved that guy's life, probably.
Yep, it sounds
saved,
like it.
It saved the opening segment. I know that.
Well, thank you again, Duck, yes, for sending that in. We appreciate you as a podcast listener in Scotland. It is 5:56, time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Now, here on a Wednesday morning, what's going on?
You guys, the Lollapalooza lineup has just been put out.
There are so many concert festivals now.
I feel like every day there's a new lineup, and every day I say, this is the best lineup.
Remember when Lollapalooza used to be the only one, by
yes.
the way?
Yes.
For our bands?
Insane.
Now there's, you're right, there's 100 a year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But this one, August 3rd through the 6th at Grant Park in Chicago, let me just go through kind of what the headliners are doing each night. Thursday night, Muse, Lorde, Cage the Elephant.
Holy moly.
Wiz Khalifa. Those are the headliners for that night.
You had me at Muse, but go ahead.
Right? Friday. The Killers. Blink 182. Run the Jewels. Are you kidding me, Lollapalooza? Saturday. Chance the Rapper. Alt-J. Well, let's move on to Sunday. Sunday.
I like both of those bands, by the way.
Right.
On Saturday night.
I'm just skipping to Sunday.
If you need to smoke weed and take it down a notch,
sure.
Then it's Alt-J time.
Then Sunday, you've got Arcade Fire, the big band on Sunday. Justice, Big Sean, The Shins. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Lollapalooza. Good Lord.
That's a great festival, too. I've been to that many, many times.
Yeah.
It's really fun, and it's right in Chicago, and you can see the skyline. It's in a beautiful park. It's an amazing place.
Is anyone ever sent to go find you after the concert?
I mean, I have been lost before.
Right.
And walked 10 miles, probably. And
okay.
I also was in a dive bar.
Right.
And somebody walked in, a former intern walked in and said, Kevin, what are you doing here? And I had no idea where I was. And I said, what are you doing here?
What are you doing
Yeah,
here?
I was much more
California
slurred. Yeah, that was a rough trip. That was a rough trip.
You should go to this, though. Make up for it.
This is
quite the
night. I need a do-over.
I mean, Thursday night. Muse, Lorde, Cage the Elephant. Thursday night is worth it. Unless it's Friday night. The Killers, Blink 182. I can't.
I mean, that's pretty strong.
That's a really strong lineup.
Might have to go.
You might have to go. I know that Bean probably was really bummed last night when word came down that Chuck Barris, the host and creator of The Gong Show, had passed away.
NCIA assassin.
I'm sorry?
Let's not forget.
He did claim that.
Right.
And the CIA said no.
Right, but
that's
what do you
not
think
true.
They would say?
True. That's
right?
True. Yeah. He apparently died of natural causes at the age of 87 years old. He also created the dating game and the newlywed game. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Right?
That's impressive.
And as Kevin was saying, he was claiming he was a former assassin for the CIA and wrote Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which was a book then later made into a movie. It was George Clooney's directorial debut, I believe, starring Sam Rockwell as Barris. You bummed, Bean?
I mean, look, here's how I feel about it. You're always
bummed.
You're always sad to lose people.
Right.
But he hasn't really been doing anything in recent years. So it's not like we're...
He hasn't been active enough for Bean to be sad.
His output has gone down.
No, what I'm saying is...
As he's in his late 80s?
The ones that are... And we've talked about this before, Allie. The ones that make me the saddest are the ones who are still creating, where we're actually missing out on art because
still
that
viable.
Person died.
Okay.
Like David Bowie, for instance.
Sure.
The guy who's still making great art. That's a huge loss because of what... Chuck Barris wasn't going to create another TV show. You know what I mean? I feel like his work was behind him. Sad to see him die. But we'll be okay.
We're going to make it, you guys.
We're going to make it.
We'll be all right.
Okay, we are going to be all right.
That's a good tip.
But, of course, they're revamping The Gong Show with Will Arnett as the executive producer. So maybe he was going to play a part in that with Gene
way to bring
the
us back
Dancing
down.
Machine. What was his name?
Gene
yes,
the Dancing Machine.
That guy. Is he alive? I should check that before I said that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some people that were born today, March 22nd. William Shatner, you guys. 86.
Oh, God.
Mama.
Yep.
Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama. Life had just begun. But now I've gone and threw it all away.
Come on.
Your story is a beautiful story.
Right?
From my point of view,
it's
a beautiful story.
Thank
I
you.
Love your story.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just your birthday.
86. I think he's one of those viable people still creating that you're talking about.
He's doing way more than any of us.
Times a million. Sportscaster Bob Costas is 65. Actor Keegan-Michael Key, 46. Reese Witherspoon, 41. Actress Constance Wu is 35. Can we get a bell for Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
What?
That's what I was thinking. I'm pro Bell on her.
Okay. Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
I said, all right.
Ring it now.
I'll allow
her.
It.
Thank you. Come on.
YouTuber Tyler Oakley is 28, and actor Matthew Modine is 58. I used to date a guy who loved Matthew Modine, and he would say, do you guys want to watch? He was French-Canadian, by the way. I should have said that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to watch a Matthew Modine movie? And whenever I hear the name Matthew Modine, I think, Matthew Modine. All right. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garvin. Welcome to Show His Feet.
Your final chance at Kevin and Bean singles party tickets later on today. We got April Foolishness tickets for you as well. And once again this morning at 9 a.m., your chance to win tickets to see Coldplay October 6th at the Rose Bowl and be qualified for the European summer vacation. You can go to any country that Coldplay is playing in Europe to go see them. So you can go, hey, I want to go to Ireland. And you go to Ireland. It's a good deal.
You can say, hey, I want to go to Italy. And you can go to Italy.
That's you can say, hey, I want to go to Belgium. Go to Belgium.
Right. Correct. Yes, all of those are options.
What if you want to go to France?
You can say, hey, I want to go to France. And then you can go to France.
Hey, I'm glad Muggs is here because it's time to play Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I'm the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes! Bean, fix your goddamn life.
All right, thank you, sir. I'm glad Muggs is here filling in for Ralph Garman because that means some of us have a chance to win the game. We never do when Ralph is here because he always wins Bean Makes His
Guess. It's annoying.
I don't know how he's so good at this because the categories change every time. And I think all of you are going to have fun with this one because this is a universal. This is one that nobody has any advantage because we all know and love soft drinks. Ladies and gentlemen, the best sodas of all time. Now, this is not the most popular. This is not the best selling. This is what the internet has decided is the best. And I assume they choose the best by which ones they like to drink the most. What are the tastiest soft drinks of all time? Kevin, you are at the traditional head of the table, so you get the first guest. What is the best soft drink of all time?
Fanta.
Your guess is Fanta because you are down with the clown. You are an insane clown posse fan. That's correct. Sorry. Fanta is number 15 on the list.
Oh, no. They do Faygo.
It's Faygo.
Oh, they're Faygo, not Fanta. Yeah. I apologize. My error. No, I'm sorry. Not inside the top 10, which is what we're trying to fill out. Beer
so
mug,
close,
you're up
next. At 15. That's good for me.
I love
this when I was a kid, and when I saw it in the vending machine, I would jump for joy. Cactus cooler.
What?
We're
trying to
right
do
now?
The top cactus. 10 most popular soft drinks of all time, and you're saying cactus cooler?
Hell yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I'm scrolling very fast and very hard, and I am not seeing Cactus Cooler anywhere in the top 50. I'm
Muggs
sorry.
Was so excited about that one, too.
Now, did you really think there was a possibility that was going to be in the top 10, Muggs?
It's made a comeback, Bean. It's made a huge comeback.
Alan McKay, your chance to get on the board first today.
I mean, I'm just going to go with the biggest one, Coca-Cola.
Mm. Well, it's only number one. Yes, Coca-Cola, the most
You said it wasn't the most popular or whatever, so I just ruled that one out.
Coca-Cola is the one that people love, Kevin.
Why don't
no,
you
said
say
the biggest
what,
ones or whatever.
What this is again. What are we trying
the
to
best
get?
Best sodas of all time. The okay. internet has said mm-hmm. these are their favorite sodas of all time. All right? So Coca-Cola is an excellent guess, and it is at number one. Kevin, you're up next.
Dr. Pepper.
Number two, ladies and gentlemen.
It's my favorite.
Dr. Pepper. Well done. 1-1. Beer mug.
Sprite.
Number three.
Yeah.
Wow. One,
you guys
two,
are
three.
On fire now.
How's that possible?
All right. Took a little while to warm up, but now we're going. 1, 2, 3. Allie, you're up next.
Pepsi.
Pepsi, unfortunately, is number 10.
Oh.
And I
Beans
say
says unfortunately because he's got this idiotic cartoonish view of how bad it is.
Because Pepsi is the devil's pee,
right.
First of all, and it shouldn't be in the top 1,000 of soft drinks. But it is number 10. That's a point for Allie McKay.
I'm going to say root beer.
More specific, please. We're talking brands here.
A&W.
Number five, ladies and
wow.
gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim.
Well done. All right, Kevin. Good job. Beer
Thank
mug, you're
you.
Up next.
Sun-kissed orange soda.
Sun-kissed orange soda is, I'm sorry, just outside the top 10 at number 12.
I thought it was good.
This list is bullcrap.
That was a pretty good guess. Number 12, though, I'm sorry. You did not get a point for that. Alan McKay, you're up next.
Tab.
Tab.
Great one.
It's a great guess.
Let me see how far down I have to go for Tab. By the way, I thought they stopped making Tab.
No.
I saw it in a supermarket the other day, and I was gobsmacked.
Yes.
No, not in the top 50. I'm
all
sorry
right.
to say. No Tab.
Can I get a qualification on, are there any diets? Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Diet...
Great question, Kevin.
Is there any of those?
There are, and there are also...
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke is Kevin's guess, and that's a great guess, and I would have thought it would be higher than number 25 on the list.
Okay, that's stupid.
So you're number saying 25. There are diets on the top 10?
I didn't say that at
you
all.
You said in
I
the list.
Said,
okay.
On the list,
you didn't
yeah.
say in the top 10.
They are eligible to be in the top 10, yes.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm. By the way, Diet Coke should be a lot higher than that.
Agreed.
Just in terms
sure.
of how much it sells. But
should be
people,
over A&W. F that.
People don't love
grossness.
It. Not a bad guess, Muggs, but number 36 is Diet Dr. Pepper.
What are we going for here? Being top 10?
We're looking for the top 10.
Okay, all right. Now let me
so
just,
far we have 1, 2, 3, 5, and 10.
Who's, am I up?
Yeah.
Squirt.
What? That's a great soda.
Thank you. Right? With some vodka?
Fantastic.
Delightful.
It's a great soundbite from Allie McKay, but I'm sorry.
No!
And I need that chip. It is number 21 on the list. Squirt is 21.
It was ahead of Diet Coke?
That's so stupid.
Hey, blame the internet.
Stupid.
Blame the internet.
The internet is stupid.
Don't blame the host. All right, we have time to go around one more time, Kevin, so this could be your final guess.
Cream soda.
Again,
we
need brands.
That ain't cream. What?
Again, we need brands. That's a category of sodas. We're looking for brands.
Stop it.
I don't know.
Chip, stop.
I don't know what the
stop
brand
writing
that makes
stuff
creams.
For him.
Is cream soda in the top 10?
Let his brain work.
A&W?
Chip's helping Kevin.
A&W is number 13. A&W cream soda
Sweet.
Is number 13.
Was there-
great guess.
Mm. All right, here we go. You ready,
That's a great guess. All right, Bugs.
Mountain Mother effing Dew.
Yes!
Number four, ladies and gentlemen. Mountain Dew is on the list. Allie, let's hear your final guess, and then somebody give me the score.
We are all tied at 2.
Woo! Seriously?
We are all tied at 2.
Wow.
And I don't think I have an answer.
Because
you're dry?
Excuse me?
What?
That is disgusting.
Personal matter.
Sounds like you need a squirt. Oh, man. This is what south.
Wow. Wow. Literally went south.
Wow.
What's going on?
Are you giving up your final guess? Or do you have anything?
Why am I drawing a blank on sodas?
I don't know. All right, my turn.
Don't help her.
We're done.
This is the last guess, you guys.
This is the last guess. All right, here's what y'all... Oh, number six, ladies and gentlemen. Allie McKay comes in just under the wire. We had prepared to give up on her, but yes.
Yes.
So does that mean you now win?
I do, but let's go run one more time because I think they have some good ones.
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're basing that on.
Up on Kevin's face. And one more time. Furiously.
Yes, Kevin. Surge.
Surge?
What the hell is Surge?
Wow.
What is Surge?
It's one of the top 10 sodas in the world.
Oh, here it is on the list at number 32, ladies and gentlemen.
I have never heard of Surge.
I have never heard of Surge either. Number 32. All right, Muggs, your final guess, please.
Oh, man, I'm in Allie's boat now. I can't think of anything else.
Look, I think Allie won.
RC Cola.
RC Cola is number 26.
Oh, my God.
Now, because of that, I'm going to say we all tied.
All right, you guys. Here's what was in the I'll give you the top 15. Number 15 was Fanta. Number 14 was IBC Root Beer. 13, A&W Cream Soda. Kevin, I think you had that. Number 12 was Sun-Kissed Orange at number 12. Barks Root Beer was number 11.
Come on, root beer.
Root beer is root beer.
Number 10, Pepsi Cola. Number 9, Canada Dry Ginger Ale, you guys.
Oh, man.
Who came up with that? Number 8.
I don't think of that as soda. Is that
weird?
Well,
it is. Yeah. Number 8, Cherry Coca-Cola.
Cherry Coke,
you guys.
I do love Cherry Coke.
Number 7 was Orange Crush. Number 6 was 7-Up. Number 5 was A&W Root Beer. And then Mountain Dew, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, and Coca-Cola. So not a bad batch, you guys. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
The janky edition of the Wheel of Bad Animal Voice is coming up just after 7 because Ralph's on vacation, so we'll see how that goes. Plus, we're going to be looking for your stories if you were tased next hour, and I'm sure that's a lot of our listeners, right?
Sure, probably 90%.
And the host of Expedition Unknown, our friend Josh Gates, makes a return appearance coming up at 8. That's all straight ahead here on K-Rock.
So I was on vacation last week, and I went to Cabo.
Nice.
And it was beautiful. It was nice. I was out at the pool. I was getting burned like I do because I'm really white.
You're not tan.
I mean, I'm really.
There's no melanin, really.
I'm too white. So the two colors that I get are white and bright red.
Okay.
There's no tan.
Sure.
So I cover myself in towels and have an umbrella and everything else, and I try to make sure that I stay out of the sun. But I do love the ocean, and I love being outdoors.
Right.
It's just I have to take extraordinary steps to not burn my skin because my skin is paper thin.
It's translucent.
You can see right through me.
Kevin is practically a walking jellyfish.
And it's a bummer. So I had put on pretty much the whole bottle of sunscreen and I was out. So I thought I need to reapply. So I went back to my room and the sliding door on the bottom floor, the sliding doors were locked. And I was like, come on.
Well, yeah, they were locked.
The sliding doors?
From outside?
Yes.
Yes. You're in Cabo. You're going to leave your sliding doors that anyone can walk up to open?
I don't think we locked it any day or any night.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Have you never been to Mexico before?
Yes,
right?
I have. Yeah, I have.
It sounds, I mean.
So just let me just say.
Okay.
I'm outraged. Like, who would have locked the doors? Because
somebody who cares about you and your stuff is who.
Right. So then I stood there for a second, and I pondered it, and I was like, what's going on? And I noticed that there were people in the room.
Oh, Kevin.
So I was like, oh, dear Lord, they're cleaning it. This is my break. This is my big break. So I knock on the door, the sliding glass door, and one of the cleaning ladies comes to the door and looks at me, and I said, the door is locked. And she closed the curtain and went back and started cleaning the room. And I was outraged. I was like, how dare you?
How am I getting so little respect?
So then I tried my key, and my key didn't work. So now I'm really angry.
And I march up to the manager's desk and I say, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
My key doesn't work. Please make me another one. Yes,
sir,
right away.
I threatened to fire someone.
I didn't threaten to fire anyone.
Hope you threatened to write a strongly worded letter.
So the guy made me another key and I went back to my room and I tried the key and it didn't work.
Oh, no.
That's
right?
Outrageous.
And then my wife came out of the very next room to the right and said, what are you doing? One room over. My room. Doors open. Everything I need in it.
Kevin.
Wrong room.
Kevin.
So, that happened. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Wednesday morning here on K-Rock. Allie's in for Ralph Garman again with the show Biz Beef. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
Record Store Day, you guys. It's coming up.
Yeah.
April 22nd. Do you still go, Bean?
You know, I don't go as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. A, it's way too crowded now.
Yeah.
Way too crowded. And B, almost everything is on vinyl now. And I'm not a big vinyl collector.
Really?
But that's what it's turned into, is it's just, it's 98% vinyl now.
Remember when we talked to that record store hipster?
I do.
And he said,
open up a blog.
I sure do.
I can't. I mean,
we were trying so much to promote it, and he was just a dick.
He was, because we didn't know as much about it as he did, so we were the bad guys. But, I mean, there's always one or two things every year that I'm excited about that I try to get. But then you get into the murky waters of, and they really are trying to combat this. They don't want people buying stuff just to turn around and flip it online. They want people to buy it who love it. You know what I mean? So it's become very complicated, Record Store Day.
Well, the full list of what's available is very complicated.
It is.
Is out. Record Store Day is April 22nd. And some of the releases, Prince, David Bowie, The Smiths, Bruce Springsteen. You guys. Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
And dozens of others have exclusive vinyl releases and rare material, including a cassette from Sir Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Really?
Great.
Really?
Who has a cassette player?
I don't know.
Cassettes are back, you guys. Cassettes are bigger every year.
Yeah, because of hipsters. But who has an actual... Do you, Bean?
I do. I have more than
one. Son of a bitch. You have more than one.
I do. I do have multiple.
Well, that does not prove my plan at all.
You can get the full list on all the releases at recordstoreday.com.
Is this song on it?
Meet Free Monday. It's a fun day.
I don't believe so, no.
Should be.
No. That is, and I don't want it.
I think the McCartney, I think it's demo versions of the album that he did with Elvis Costello, if I remember correctly.
All right.
Meet Free Monday. All right.
That's the jam.
It is the jam. am I wrong to...
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Next story. Am I wrong to have read this and thought, Brad Pitt, he's just like us. Because he's, you know, going through that divorce with Angelina Jolie. There's a lot of stuff with the kids, what's happening. Well, he's just like us in that he's getting over all of this the old-fashioned way.
By getting under someone else? But,
nope.
Oh.
That's a great way, though. But by listening to really sad songs while he's sculpting.
What? Like you do. I was going to say, I listen to sad songs when I'm sad, but...
Right.
Sculpting.
But he's sculpting as well. So apparently, he's taken up sculpture as a new hobby and works with a British artist. And all day, he just stays in the studio until the wee hours of the morning, making those creations and listening to really emotional songs.
Does it say what he's listening to? Like, what's his sad music of choice?
Oh, I wonder. What do you think? Like Chicago. A lot of, like, sad Chicago songs.
I doubt that, but...
You're the meaning of my life. You're the inspiration. Maybe. And he's just sculpting and crying.
Crying.
What do you think he's listening to, Bean?
I have no idea. I mean, look, everybody has a different idea of what sad music is, you know? But I'd be curious to know.
What's your sad music, Bean?
Mine is Uptown Funk.
That's not sad.
It's very sad. It's very sad. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Maybe we need to do that as a phone topic.
I think that would be interesting.
What songs our listeners choose when they're sad to listen to?
I'm not going to lie. When I was younger, I used to turn on Love Songs on the Coast at
just
night.
Sob.
And just sob. Like, I wasn't sad about anything, but I'd look forward to laying in bed and being like, oh, like total emo weirdo kid.
Wait, you weren't sad.
Nope.
But you look forward to listening to sad songs and crying?
So I could cry, yeah.
Okay.
Did you do that too? Call now. 1-800.
Make a note of that as well. What's going on?
I don't know.
Allie, the weird adult, did not just come out of nowhere.
No.
She was a weird kid,
she
too.
She did not. Just listening to Somebody by Depeche Mode singing into the mirror, crying.
Hang on, I'm writing.
Nobody?
No.
Nobody did that wearing their first communion veil, pretending they were singing to Martin Gore? Nobody did that?
I think maybe just you on this one.
I literally asked my mother if I could have my first communion veil so I could put it on and sing Depeche Mode Somebody to my mirror with the hairbrush, because that's what I was going to sing to Martin Gore when I finally met him as a, you know, 10-year-old.
Were you sound insane,
right?
Do you realize that?
I do.
You should be medicated.
I should.
Were you ever put in a psychiatric ward of any kind, or...
I mean, they called it camp.
Yeah, okay.
But...
But the doors were locked?
Yeah.
How about that?
The walls were padded.
Oh, that's strange.
I mean, someone else out there sang to their mirror.
I mean, what the f*** is happening? Have you gone mad?
Do people sing into the mirror? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the rest of it, though.
Hey, Bean, big Bee Gees tribute concert coming up.
You don't have to tell me.
Right? Well, I'll tell the people that didn't know. CBS has scheduled that Bee Gees tribute concert for Sunday, April 16th. Staying Alive, a Grammy salute to the music of the Bee Gees, featuring Barry Gibb doing a special selection of songs, along with tributes from Celine Dion, Nick Jonas, Tori Kelly, John Legend,
love John Legend,
Demi Lovato, Little Big Town, Keith Urban. Aren't those all the same people that did it?
Yes, we got they taped it. My understanding is they taped it that same week of the Grammys, and what we saw on stage that night was a small portion of what we'll be seeing on this.
I hope it's a small portion, because that was not great.
Ed Sheeran is going to be singing Massachusetts, though. That could be cool. Panic at the Disco is on it.
Wow.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, there's some pretty good people.
All right, I'm in with the stuff you just listed.
Catherine McPhee, too, by the way.
All right.
All of these stars celebrating a birthday today. William Shatner. 86.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear.
Come on. That's strong.
So good. Keegan-Michael Key is 46. Reese Witherspoon is 41. Holy crap. Constance Wu is 35. And Bob Costas is 65. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Busy times this month here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're doing Las Vegas Singles Party this Friday night. Your chance to win those tickets if you want to join us coming up later on in the program. And then the following Saturday, April 1st, we're going to be at the Shrine Auditorium. Great lineup this year with Bill Burr and David Koechner and Jimmy Pardo and Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, Angela Johnson, Adam Ray. It's a great, great lineup. Tickets are still on sale right now at AXS.com if you want to buy them, and they benefit Fisher House and Cedar Sinai. You can get tickets as low as $25 for that show, by the way.
That's true.
And you should, because the money goes to some great local charities. And if you want to open the show, we'll tell you how you can do that later on this morning as well. All coming up on K-Rock.
It is Wednesday. That means it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, which we're very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
However, certain people are on vacation.
What do you mean? What would that have
well,
to do with
Well, why would it?
It
matter who's on vacation if we actually call
good part.
Talk to the real animals?
I really didn't think about that. That's a good part.
Uh-huh.
That's a good part.
But fortunately, other people are not on vacation.
Right.
Other people who are less talented are not on vacation.
Right.
So they may or may not be involved
Correct.
In answering the phone on the other end of the call.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the stories on the wheel. These are all real stories. Bank the turtle who ate 1,000 coins in heaven.
Oh,
in rest
heaven.
In peace.
That was the notorious.
We didn't even get a chance to call Bank before he passed, and that makes me kind of sad.
We can talk to him in heaven, though, Bean.
I know we can. I know we still have the option.
The technology. The notorious potbelly pig named Piggy Smalls.
Just
Piggy
take
Smalls
it.
Is the illest.
Take it off the wheel if
Piggy
we don't
Smalls
land on it this
illest.
Week. I am so sad every week.
The raccoon obsessed with human breasts.
Oh, we heard about him earlier this week. Yes.
The swole chicken coming out of the hen house.
Have you seen it?
huge chicken.
Oh, my God. It's like a Muppet. It's the biggest thing you've ever seen.
I feel like it's the chicken that Peter Griffin wrestles with every week.
It's pretty much.
The mustachioed pup that just joined a Franciscan monastery.
I'm pretty sure somebody just put that one on to see if I could say it.
That's a real story. I've seen that dog in his little robes.
The whale that took kayakers for a ride.
Oh.
And the parrots high on drugs destroying farmers' crops.
Oh, wow.
Parrots.
So there's your those are your stories. Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Janky edition. Look, we can't not spin the wheel just because someone's on vacation.
Right.
No one knows where it's going to land. Give it a good hard pull there, would you, Kevin? And then go ahead and spin the wheel.
Hey, see?
Give it a good hard pull there, Kevin. It's what Bean just said.
I'm sorry to tell you, it did not land on Piggy Smalls.
Come on!
It landed on the raccoon obsessed with the human breast.
Yay! Okay.
This is an interesting story that involves a lawsuit, which we don't see very often on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, but we brought this to you earlier in the week. This is a petting zoo that was approached by an advertising studio in Russia, and they said, hey, we're filming a TV commercial, and we'd like to rent a raccoon. So they sent this raccoon over, and it turned out, much to the horror of the people who run the zoo, that the raccoon was in a bed with a topless model.
Oh.
Now, it is unclear, and I have done some research on this, believe it or not.
You have.
It is unclear.
And by the way, more for the raccoon than the topless model. Guaranteed.
Which is
raccoons
shocking.
Are super cute. It is unclear what kind of commercial was being made, but the advertising agency said it was not a pornographic shoot. It was actually a commercial that was intended for a national television audience that would not air porn, which doesn't explain why the model had to be topless.
Well, Thomas... had some sort of problem as well. It turned up for work and snatched the model's bra off.
Yes. Oh. Apparently Tomas, or Thomas, however you pronounce his name, is a horn dog a little bit.
Right.
And the petting zoo is now complaining, now that Tomas is back at work, that he has an unnatural fascination with female breasts now. So
more like a heavy petting zoo, am I right?
So that is not making them very happy, because what are you going to do with this raccoon who's part of a petting zoo? Now all of a sudden he's jumping on everyone's booze when they walk in to play
with
him. Yeah,
I feel like the petting is supposed to be going the other way.
Yes, exactly. So it's a very controversial story, so we wanted to find out more about it. And I believe Dave, our producer, was able to line up somebody at the zoo in Russia. So
oh,
we're
wow.
to find out more about this story. Hello there. Can you hear us okay all the way from America?
Hello, Don Svidaniya. How's everybody doing?
Yes, we're calling to ask about Tomas the raccoon.
Yes, this is me, Tomas. Hello.
Oh, Tomas!
The raccoon?
What?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. I'm glad you're doing well.
And how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I know. What do you guys call about?
Well, Tomas, the reason we're calling is the controversy about the TV commercial that you shot a couple of weeks ago in that model's hotel room. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, very quite well. It was for bed linens, the commercial for linens for things.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Is it linens and things?
Because
that's very
good. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And now, you know, it was a great shoot. I made good money.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm back in the zoo, but my zookeeper keeps telling me that I am acting out of line, but I don't see it. I don't know what all the hubbub is about. Could you guys explain
well,
it
I mean,
to me?
It sounds like you're obsessed with women's breasts.
Not at all. I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction because I live quite a fulfilling life. I start off my day with my zookeeper, Christine. She comes in, and she's coming in now. She brings me nice, round, big cassava melons to get my vitamin C. She's coming. Hi, Christine, how are you?
Excuse me.
Oh, hey, I don't know what happened there. But, yeah, I don't know what all the hubbub's about.
Tomas, why did she say excuse me? What did you do?
I dropped the melon, I guess.
She sounded offended, though.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
She's having a good time. And then, you know, after breakfast, I turn on the boob tube. Right? That's what you guys call it?
Television, right, yes.
Poop tube, right?
Sure, okay.
And then I catch up on all my digital recordings, my TiVo. Modern Family, have you seen that show, Sophia?
Yes, Modern Family, very popular,
Sophia
yes.
Sophia Vergara is such a great actress.
Right.
Academy, yes. She is Academy Award caliber, let me tell you.
I feel like you're just pointing out big boobs, though.
What? She has boobs? I didn't even know. But Bean. I know Two Broke Girls. Kat Dennings, right?
She's a very lovely actress,
another
yes.
Another great high-caliber actress. And then, the new Dancing with the Stars. Have you guys seen it?
I have not tuned in yet.
Boy, you're really up on your TV.
I love it. It's appointment television for me. Charo, she is a great dancer. Those moves. Love to see her coochie-coochies, you know?
Yes, Tomas, we do know.
Is this thing on? Okay, good.
Tomas, I think you're proving our point that you seem to be just fixated with ladies in their boobs.
No idea. Hey, Bean, you live in New Orleans, right?
Yes, but please don't bring me into this bitch.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You,
please do.
Keep going, Tomas.
Yeah. Bean was actually on vacation
please
with this
do. Area. No, Bean. No, Mardi Gras just happened, right?
Yes, Mardi Gras, very popular time of year here.
You gotta get me down there. I hear they have good hurricanes on Bourbon Street. And I got a lot of beads in my pen, so I got to pass those out, you know, to the nice people down there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, Tomas, I think you're getting another call. It sounds like you have to go.
I don't think we have all the time in the world.
How do the nice people get the beads?
They flash their breasts at me.
Like I say, I think Tomas has to go. He's very busy. He's got a very active schedule as a raccoon.
Guys.
Are you in a rush?
Yeah, whatever happened to the Miss Double December pageant?
Okay, Tomas. All right. Great to talk to you. I think you proved your point.
That went well.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. Josh Gates, the host of Expedition Unknown, joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning. The dude has been everywhere in the world, Allie. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine the best part about that job would be the traveling, but the worst part about that job would be the traveling, right?
Wait, what?
Meaning that, you know... You know what it's like to travel.
It's not great.
It's a lot of work.
But I think when you're in a constant state of travel, you don't really realize how bad the traveling is because it's just constant.
Yeah, and he's a professional, so I'm sure he's got a system. Anyway, that'll be coming up just after 8. First, though, let's talk about tasing.
Don't tase me, bro!
It's been a long time since we've done this topic, but I guarantee that many of our Kevin and Bean listeners have been tased, and we definitely want to hear from you of what the circumstances were of your tasing and what the experience was like for you. And the reason we thought about this is because there's a story that we could have saved for What's Up with Florida, but it's so good we couldn't wait. This is a man who, as nearly as I can tell, stopped by the Blue Martini, which is a nightclub in Boca Raton. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Were you pooping?
Just wandering the halls.
Okay.
You forget we were doing a show?
No, but I honestly thought, I got a couple of minutes. I was pretty convinced of it.
So he stops by the Blue Martini in Boca Raton at about 3 o'clock in the morning, it sounds like, and he wanted to use the bathroom, okay? And I don't know what the circumstances were leading up to this. I assume he was driving around, and he goes, oh, man, I can't wait till I get home. I'm just going to pull in the next place I see. So he goes in. They say, no, sir, customers only. Look, lots of places have that policy, right? They wanted to charge him $10 to use their bathroom.
Oof. Well, if that was the case, why didn't you just buy the least expensive thing on their menu?
Right.
Yes.
And then use the restroom.
You would think so. I'm sure
maybe he had no money?
Maybe the last thing he wanted to do was buy something that would involve him holding liquid. You know, maybe he just wanted to – he didn't want to have anything to do with drinking anything. He just wanted to pee as fast as possible.
Right.
So anyway, he throws a tantrum and a scuffle happens between him and the bouncers. The police end up being called. He's fighting with everybody. And he gets tased. And that's what makes this magic.
That's a guy that really has to pee.
He really has to pee,
I mean,
right.
He was fighting everybody.
Yeah.
After several warnings, police officers attempted to place Mr. Duarte in handcuffs. He allegedly fought back and he was tased. And here's the part that was a surprise to me in the story. He attempted to pull the taser prongs out of his lower stomach area, but was tackled to the ground and arrested. Now, that's not my understanding of how tasers work at all. I thought they touch you and your skin for a couple of seconds, and then the police officer has the weapon back.
Oh, no, they're in you.
No, they're like little tiny spears.
Yeah.
Oh. And they shoot and they stick into you.
Oh, am I thinking of a stun
gun?
Yeah,
you're thinking of a stun gun.
Different
yeah.
thing. Okay, gotcha. He attempted to pull the taser prongs out of his lower stomach area, was tackled to the ground, and arrested. Hobble restraints were placed on the man after he allegedly attempted to kick the officers. So this was the opposite of just pulling into a club and peeing and going about his business.
Maybe he didn't have to pee.
Oh,
I mean,
you think
right?
he might have been worse.
He had to poop.
Maybe
guys.
So.
Because he could have peed anywhere. He had to poop.
Yeah,
and I feel
you know what?
For him.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
But
so
do you fight? But do you take on every person?
You do not.
And
Kevin.
Do you fight the police?
You don't.
Come on.
You don't.
He was arrested, taken to jail, and was released after posting a $6,000 bond. So
oh,
that is 25-year-old Scott Duarte. And I think you're absolutely right. He had to poop. So we want to take your calls at 1-800.
Have you ever had to poop? Give us a call now.
Right now.
Have you ever gotten in a fight?
1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories if you have been on the wrong end of a taser. You know, I was looking into my audio files here to see what I had on tasing, and I don't remember what these circumstances were of this story, but I love this audio so much. This is a guy apparently who was either driving a lawnmower while drunk or trying to steal a lawnmower or whatever it was, but the police show up and they warn him, and I think you hear how effective tasing is in this clip.
Steve.
No, I'm not doing anything wrong.
You're fixing to get lit up, Steve. Steve, you're fixing to get tased. I'm serious, Steve. Come on, man. Come on, bro. Come on.
I'm not going
Wow. He was fixing to get tased.
He was.
He did.
I like the guy that's starting the lawnmower and saying, I'm not doing anything.
I have never been tased.
Okay.
But I've never been tased either. I've been stun gunned, but never tased.
It doesn't sound to me like it feels good.
No, it's right, terrible.
That's the point of
tasing. No, that's my
that's
takeaway. No, what I'm saying is it doesn't sound fun.
Right.
I'm saying don't choose to be tased.
Right. We're all agreeing with
yeah.
you, and
okay.
I think that's pretty much a given in everyone's minds.
So we're all on the same page.
However, what percentage of our audience would you guess have been tased?
94.
Well, that seems
high.
A little. That's ridiculous.
91.
I was going to say around 90. Yeah. 90. why don't we start with Tony. He's on line 9. He's in L.A. He's up first at 1-800-520-1067. We want you to share with us your stories of being tased, because it really does sound like a lot of fun.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
You are what? You're an LAPD attorney?
I'm a Los Angeles attorney that represents the police.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We work along with tasers.
Okay.
I understand how they work.
Okay.
Oh, yes,
yes.
Please do. Thank you.
Please tell us.
Sure. So the way the device works is it's shaped like a sort of a handheld unit with a trigger. At the front of the device, there's this cartridge, and it has gas in there. And if you pull the trigger, the cartridge shoots out two darts that are attached to wires.
Oh.
Darts then lodge in your body, and the electricity flows from the device into the darts. The electricity then flows through the muscles of your skeleton, and it's that electricity that interrupts the signals from your brain to your body, and that's what causes your body to collapse. So that's called a dart stun.
And you're basically paralyzed for those 3 seconds or however long it is, right?
It's up to 5. It depends on how long you hold the trigger. If you hold the trigger for the full amount, it's going to go to 5 seconds and then stop. But if you get a good hit, you're basically unable to move your own muscles, the muscles of your body. It doesn't affect your organs or your brain or anything like that. It essentially causes your muscles to stop working. And if you're standing, you'll fold. If you're sitting, you'll probably go down. But you can take the front of that cartridge off, and then there are these two little leads, and you can touch that to person, and that's sort of a drive stun. And it's basically like getting little tiny burns on your body. So it hurts, but it doesn't affect your muscles' ability to really do anything. So you have two modes on the taser, and usually they're deployed with the darts. And when you get that neuromuscular incapacitation,
right,
that's what usually affects people. But if they're able to move, if the person's able to move or able to pull the darts out, which is going to be pretty painful, if they're able to move or get the darts out, or if you hear the taser making sort of a crackle or electrical sound, then that means that the dart deployment was not effective, and so the person is essentially not affected by the taser other than
I see.
Is it painful for the police officers to then remove the taser from the person?
Only if the electricity is activated, and generally speaking, officers are trained that they're not going to remove the taser darts. Essentially what most officers, particularly here in California, are going to do is they're going to summon medical aid to the scene as soon as somebody is tased with the darts. and the medical personnel will decide whether to remove the darts there on scene or take the person to the hospital and allow the darts to be moved.
Okay.
Wow. Tony, this is more serious than I thought it was.
Tony, we've been guessing now. What percentage of our audience, of the Kevin and Bean audience, do you believe has been tased? Because we're at about 90%. That's our guess.
No, I think that your audience is very smart and very good people, so I'm going to hope that it's a lot smaller than that.
So 85?
My guess would be hopefully less than 5 or possibly even less than 1. But
you don't know our audience.
Yeah, you don't know our audience.
You were smart for a minute, Tony.
Thank you, Tony, for the call.
I've been listening to that for a while, but you guys are great, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tony.
You too. We really, really appreciate the information. Gosh, that's what it's like to talk to somebody who knows stuff.
Right? Guys. We should do that more.
That was a very weird experience.
All right, it looks like our lines are filling up. What a surprise.
It sure does. All right, Melissa, you hold on, and Chris and Anthony and Brandon and all the rest, we want to hear your stories of why and how you were tased. We'll come right back on K-Rock.
I love our listeners, and I love that they've been tased, and I love that they're calling to share those stories here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, I got some good calls here. Let's start with Brandon. He's in Huntington Beach. He's been on both sides of the tasing, you guys.
Wow. Brandon, hi.
Hi. How you doing?
We are good. Thanks. You were tased?
Yes. I was in the military. I'm a military police officer. And so in order to carry the taser, you have to be tased in order to know what it feels like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Are you positive? Because that just sounds like hazing. No, seriously, Brandon. That's what everybody has to do.
Yep. But, so I volunteer to go first because I just want to get it over with, you know? And so he tries to make an example of me. And he puts these alligator prongs on my feet.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something to transport prisoners. And if they go crazy, then you hit the taser and they could just fall right over.
Okay.
So he puts them on my feet and he tells the sergeants that are holding me to not let me fall.
Uh-oh.
Are you positive this is the military police?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. And how did it feel, Brandon, in your own words? Describe for me what it feels like to be tased like that.
It honestly feels like the world's smallest, strongest man punching you 19 times a second.
That is a fascinating description.
And very visual. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah. Now, did it, we got to move on here, but did it, having been tased, did it make you think twice or three times before you subjected somebody else to that pain, or were you so excited to be able to share it?
Yes, no, definitely. You definitely want to be, like, they have to be bad enough to be tased, because that
gotcha.
Hurts.
It's got to be last resort. I understand. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Anthony Ukaipa up next. Line two here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking to listeners who have been tased. What's going on, Anthony?
All guys, what a surprise.
we got Melissa, right?
Oh, yeah. One girl. All right, Anthony, what happened?
Well, I was in Ukaipa. I was partying with a bunch of my friends and walking down an alley. One of the cops kind of blocked our path and decided to talk to us. Me, being the genius that I am, thought I'd try to run, and tried to run over the cop car and got tased in the back in the process.
Wow.
And you tried to jump over
my forehead.
You tried to jump over the cop car.
He was blocking me in, so I thought
right?
running over the
so
hood
he
would
deserved
be a
it.
Genius idea.
So you got tased and landed on your forehead.
Yep, I landed on my forehead on the other side.
That was a banner night for you, Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
How are things going?
He let you go. How are things going now, Anthony?
They're going good now. I decided I'd, grow up a little bit. But,
all right.
Yeah, tasing's okay. Not fun.
Not
that
fun.
That is
okay.
A good takeaway.
Okay.
Does it sound like it?
Another in the category of not fun.
Not fun.
Wow, a lot of votes against being tased so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, weird.
Right? What's up?
Let's try Melissa, since we were talking about the ladies. Buena Park, line four, up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. You got tased, or your sister got tased. What happened here?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah,
hey.
My sister was tased. My mom somehow got a hold of a taser. It was given to her or something. And my curiously sober sister decided to aim it at her neck and collapsed right in front of my mom.
Wow. Why
she
would she tase
herself?
I mean, the first rule of having a sibling is you tase the sibling.
Yeah, well, she knows better than to do that.
why did she tase herself?
She's
teach your mom a lesson?
Yeah, exactly.
How'd that go?
Very curious.
Wow.
I guess so. All right.
How's your sister now?
Oh, she's normal. She's fine.
Define normal.
Yeah, normal-ish. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Jasmine. She's in Redland. She's on line one up next on the Kevin Bean Show. She volunteered to be tased? What's going on, Jasmine?
What?
Yeah, I was at a bar with a friend, and my other friend's sister came in asking if we wanted to go to a self-defense seminar. I said yes, and the cop asked if someone wanted to be volunteered to be tased, and of course I said yes, because
okay.
I was pretty drunk.
Who leaves a bar? Who leaves a bar to go to a self-defense seminar? That's a weird choice.
Yeah, I mean, I was up for anything. I was already been drinking, and I just decided, hey, why not?
All right, and how'd that go?
Not so great, but it also my friend decided that she wanted to videotape it, and it's all on YouTube.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to need that link.
You might need to send us that link.
What do I search for?
Yeah, how do we find that, Jasmine?
It's under Jasmine Gets Tased, but my name's spelled J-A-S-M-I-N.
All right, Jasmine Gets Tased. We all have a little bit of homework. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it Chris in Paramount. He's up next, line three.
All right. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Now, it says here you were a police officer.
Briefly in San Diego, yes.
Okay, so did you tase a lot of folks?
I never had the chance. You know, I was the one who got tased, actually.
You got tased. Tell us.
Well, as part of the training during the academy, you have to get tased. Well, they recommend, how about you're voluntold to get tased?
I got you. All right.
Just so, you know, you could see what it's like if you ever have to tase somebody and a defense attorney, you know, bring this up in court, you can say, well, I have been tased personally, so I know how it feels, and I felt it was justified in this situation.
Now, the last guy said that it can be up to 5 seconds, depending on how long the officer holds the trigger. Is that true?
That is true.
What's the smallest amount of time?
Like a second, you know.
1 second. All right. Okay. But you got the full five.
Yeah, we pretty much, probably 34 out of the 35 of us there, we all took the full 5 seconds.
I don't know why we're talking to Chris and not tasing Beer Mug right now. I really don't understand the choices that we're making on this show anymore. I don't even recognize us.
Agreed. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Keep on listening to K-Rock once again this morning at 9 a.m. Your chance to win tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl October 6th and qualify for a European summer vacation with the band. You pick the destination, any country they're in, whether it's Ireland or Sweden or France or Italy. Whatever you want, you get it. And we'll do that grand prize drawing Monday morning right here on K-Rock. Ralph's on vacation this week, but Ali is filling in with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin, how many people do you think have tweeted you a link to last night's Wheel of Fortune?
100.
100.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
You tell the thing.
All right, then.
just noted, got it, received it.
Yep, still receiving.
Still receiving.
Yep.
Understand it.
Okay.
Get it.
I think the timing of last night's Wheel of Fortune was curious because this week we were talking about what it's like to be friends with or know a guy or work with somebody named Kevin. And there's something about Kevin's that's kind of a universal. Like everyone's got a Kevin in their life and everyone's got a Kevin story.
And it's never good.
Sometimes
were hundreds of people on that Reddit thread with their Kevin stories.
So I think when they saw this contestant's spectacular fail on the Wheel of Fortune last night, they all just thought, well, there's another Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Wheel of Fortune, they've got the little squares that light up. You pick a vowel, you pick letters, whatever. Basically, everything was written out except for one letter, and it was a streetcar, N-A, blank letter, E-D, Desire. So
a street card named Desire.
You
of
would
course,
think.
I get that immediately.
So you would say M, and then you've got it. A streetcar named Desire.
It's the only letter you need.
Not to Kevin. This is what happened.
Well, then you have $1,600. He's going for it.
$600.
K. No. Lisa. Yeah, there you go. And what do we have?
A streetcar named Desire.
Yeah, that's it. Well, funny little game. $650 will make it $1,000. And although you got the right answer, I'd rather see Kevin's play.
Right?
A streetcar naked Desire. Kevin.
Yeah,
Kevin.
That wasn't me.
Come on, Kevin.
I wasn't on Wheel of Fortune.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
This was a success.
Yeah, I didn't get why so many people were sending it to me, because I was like, okay, the guy
was an idiot.
Up. We get it. And then I realized, oh, it was a Kevin.
Yeah, his name is Kevin. That's
Yeah.
I got that.
Did you?
Uh huh.
All right.
So
well,
I received
so
it. I've watched
stop
it.
Sending it, you're saying?
I'm saying I am fully caught up on the fact that that guy's name is Kevin.
Because Chip just sent it to you again
now.
Good.
That's what she does.
Yeah.
Right.
If everyone wants to just retweet Chip's
I don't think
tweet
that's
Kevin,
necessary.
Just so he sees it for sure.
I've seen it.
Okay. If you're just waking up, you missed Lollapalooza's lineup being announced. This is August 3rd through the 6th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the great city of Chicago. Here are just some of the headliners. Muse, Lord, Cage the Elephant, The Killers, Blink 182, Run the Jewels, Chance the Rapper, Arcade Fire, The Shins. These are...
That's an impressive lineup.
It's
Right?
Really impressive.
Right? That sounds great.
That's what I'm saying. And I think the four-day passes sold out before they announce the lineup, like they usually do. But one-day passes do go on sale today. So
I feel like I need to go to that.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like I need to.
I mean, that's really good. Sad news for all of you Gong Show fans. Chuck Barris, the host and creator of The Gong Show, died of natural causes yesterday at the age of 87. If you didn't watch The Gong Show, it was basically everything you loved about American Idol. But mostly that was the show. All of the fails.
It was the first three episodes of American Idol where they were terrible.
All the fails. And I had read something that when he created the show, he really wanted to highlight talent and everything. But then all of these awful people kept showing up and he was like, wait, that's the show. Let's have mostly awful and one or two talented.
Sam the Armenian Comedian was on that show.
No.
Yes, he was.
I mean.
Yep.
And then the judges would gong people, and then they were off the show. That was like the hook. It was a really good show, I have to say.
Do you think he had the doctor that pronounced him dead hit a gong? I mean, really, that'd be the best way to go, wouldn't it?
I mean, you would think. The announcement involved a gong.
That would have been fitting.
Time of death, 10:30.
Gong!
I feel like we had kind of lost Chuck Barris to history until George Clooney made that movie about 20 years ago. And then all of a sudden we thought, oh, yeah, that guy was fascinating.
Yeah, he made the movie off of the book Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which he wrote because he claimed he was a former assassin for the CIA, although the CIA denies that.
Right,
which they would.
Or was he Looney Tunes? Who knows? But here's the deal: he created the Gong Show, the dating game, and in 1965, the newlywed game.
Yeah, this guy was pretty rich.
He did all right. He also wrote the record Palisades Park, which became a hit, which I didn't know. Do you know that song, Bean?
Yeah.
I don't.
By a Freddie Boom Boom Cannon?
Yeah, big hit. Still gets played on oldie stations.
Right?
Really?
Big hit.
Wow. Big hit.
That's a successful entertainer right there.
It was a success. Absolutely. Thanks for that gong. Mm-hmm. That's
a little late.
Real good stuff. Let's wrap it up because we've got some pretty important stuff with Expedition Unknown's host, Josh Gates, coming in studio. All of these stars were born today, March 22nd. William Shatner, 86. Matthew Modine, 58. Keegan-Michael Key is 46. Reese Witherspoon is 41. Actress Constance Wu is 35. And sportscaster Bob Costas is 65.
The Central African Republic is located in Central Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He does good work.
He really does. Some good stuff. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I don't know, Bean. I'm not feeling very good about this.
Well, there's a lot of Massachusetts talk early on. That's for sure.
I don't feel like this is going to go well.
Right. Josh is from Manchester by the Sea, which is a real town, a real place.
Right. And that's a mention, and you go, oh, that's interesting, and then you move on. You don't spend the next 20 minutes talking about how great Massachusetts is.
We're talking about the Red Sox. We're talking about his wife. There's a whole thing.
That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, forget what the lady's saying. Josh Gates is our guest. He is the host of Expedition Unknown, now in its third season on the Travel Channel. Josh, welcome back to the Kennedy Show, my friend.
How
are you, sir?
How are you guys?
We are good.
I'm sorry to bring Massachusetts talk to the table so early in the morning.
The problem is that you're adding to it. That's the problem.
I can sense that there is some trauma here, Massachusetts-based trauma in the room.
Yes.
Hey, Josh, how rarely are you – I don't know how many weeks a year you film the Expedition Unknown, but is it rare? Are we lucky to catch you in town?
Yes. I would say yes. So in 2016, I was overseas for about 225 days.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I know. Everyone always says, you have the greatest job. And that's true in many ways, but it is a be careful what you wish for job.
225 days out of the year.
Yeah. At least you don't have a wife and a baby, right?
I know, right? That would make it really hard if I had a 13-month-old at home.
Oh, no.
That would make this almost insane.
Oh,
but
you're
called another man daddy, right?
You're the worst dad ever.
I know. It's true.
Oh, that hurts.
It's so painful.
But at least the places you go are huge, like Paris, so that you could take great flights and lay down in first class and all, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really beautiful.
I go to only the nicest destinations.
Right.
So, Josh, before we get into where you've been and where you are going this season and tonight's what looks like an exceptional episode, I have to ask, because we were debating this before you came in earlier today. The best part of your job is the traveling. You get to go all these places on somebody else's dime. But it's also the worst part of the job. Like, how have you reconciled with making traveling something that is survivable? Because most of us, we fall apart if we've got to take one cross-country flight, and you're doing that every day. Like, you have just worked up a lot of secrets to make it all work for you?
Yeah. First of all, I think you're right. It is the best and the worst part of the job. You know, I mean, it's easy. I have to remind myself occasionally, but you know, look, I get to go to really extraordinary places and do really extraordinary things. So a lot of the time I look up and I go, wow, I can't believe I'm in this place. I can't believe I have this opportunity. So I can remind myself a lot of the benefits of it. But the travel is challenging. I think for me, it's all about headspace. You know, I think travel is as miserable as you make it.
It's a positive attitude that makes it work?
Yeah, I think you gotta like hunker down on those flights and just sort of, you know, have your noise canceling headphones and a bunch of movies and a good book and just sort of get in your little bubble, because if you start to, you know,
think
really
about how many hours
it,
you're gonna be in the air.
Then it turns into a torture routine. So for me it's all about you just gotta kind of be in your own space and make it work for you or you go crazy.
What is the worst place that you've ever been to that you put it on a show about? You did an episode and you just hated it.
It's got to be Philly, right?
Philadelphia?
I try to take something positive from everywhere I go. I'm not thrilled to sign up for another trip to outer Siberia.
Right. That seems bad.
I would say
you try to clone an animal or something?
Yeah, we did a thing on mammoth cloning. The scientists trying to collect mammoth DNA.
Right.
Like you do.
Like you do, yeah.
Chernobyl, I would say, is not the next great honeymoon destination.
You went to Chernobyl.
Went to Chernobyl. I would
now
not
let
say.
Me stop you right there. Yeah. Has Chernobyl, and for folks who don't recognize the name, this was the nuclear power plant that melted down like what 40 years ago or something like that, right? Is it now a tourist destination that people can visit from around the world?
It is in a limited capacity. So they have these tours where you can go into these vans and you can drive down the main roads of the city, and the radiation on the roads has kind of washed away. So you can kind of there's a kind of zoo vibe now where you can kind of drive around on safari through
anyone
the ruins.
Do that?
Because it's kind of amazing.
Do you have to wear like a spacesuit or something?
We did when we were there, because we went into the buildings and kind of, you know, mucked around and stuff.
How much radiation is still in there, Josh?
It depends where you are. And one of the really maddening things about it is like there are – talk about bad jobs. There's like a small team of people who still work there who kind of maintain the reactor, which is still filled with atomic material that has this like shield over it now, and they kind of maintain the place. And you know, they're all these like hardcore old school, you know, Russian dudes, and I would say to them, like, what's the number on this machine? Because they all have Geiger counters and stuff. Like, just tell me the number where we're not going in there.
Right.
And, you know, they're all like,
it's too much.
It's okay. You know, it's like
because
they're so chill.
They've already made peace with death.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I want the number, you know.
You still have a family. You should tell them that.
And all of us on my crew had these little, so there are these little personal radiation detectors called dosimeters. And you're supposed to wear them on your arm. And it's kind of like a turkey thermometer, you know. And when you're all filled up with radiation, it kind of dings. And it's like, okay, you need to get out of here. And I remember my camera guy took his and immediately duct taped it to his crotch. You know, in the front of his belt. He was like, this is it. This is the zone.
Like
this is what I'm protecting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into him.
You know, exactly.
He does good work.
I feel like I would like to go there.
To Chernobyl?
Yeah, yeah,
it is cool.
I would like to go there.
I mean, it's like it's not like, oh, it's an abandoned building. It's a city. It's a whole
city.
The whole
city is
streets and schools.
Is a ghost city, though, right?
Theaters,
there's no one there.
Hotels,
right?
Empty. And
in other
like,
words,
if you,
you can't
the buildings,
live there because you would get cancer, right?
That's
that
right. There's a 30-mile zone around the city that is basically walled off.
Bean, you wouldn't want to go there?
I don't. I mean, like Josh did it, I guess, where you go out in a few hours. Yeah, I think it might be kind of fun to see. I bet you could take some cool pictures while you were there.
Yeah, I don't think I need to go back.
Okay, yeah, once is enough probably for that.
Mm-hmm. Once is enough.
Josh, what is, this is the voice of a Josh Gates, a host of Expedition Unknown on the Travel Channel, Wednesdays at 9. What is the most remote place, the place you had to travel the furthest to get to?
This season we went to Everest Base Camp, which is fairly remote. That's a haul.
And you have to climb a lot to get up to that, right?
You do. So you have to trek. A lot of it's just about acclimatization. So it's like you fly to Kathmandu in Nepal, and then you have to take a particularly scary flight to a little landing strip in the mountains, a place called Lukla, and then you hike for a week or so from there. And then
hike for a week or so.
A week or so.
Okay.
And then we cheated the very last step. So we took a helicopter from one of the kind of higher altitude camps there up to base camp. But that meant we could only stay at base camp for about 3 hours before getting sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? My next question was going to be, at base camp, did you have that instinct where you're like, I need to go for the top?
Not really.
Not at all.
Base camp is at 17,500 feet.
Right.
And it feels pretty otherworldly there. And we came from about 13,000 feet. So that's a pretty huge jump in elevation.
And how long do people have to stay at base camp before they make the climb?
About a month.
A month?
Are you kidding me?
That's why a lot of folks die on Everest, because they've put so much into it. You know, they've trained for it. They've spent over a month flying to Kathmandu, staying up at base camp, doing these practice runs. Costs about $100,000 per attempt.
Oh, wow.
You know, all in. It's cheaper if you do it from the Chinese side. I think it's about half that, but it's a lot more dangerous from that side. So, you know, there are a lot of people who the weather will be against them and stuff like that, but they're like, man, I've just given so much of my life and my money to this.
So they won't turn back because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Could I get, like, 5 Sherpas?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about the Sherpas, because this has always confused me, Josh.
Because I want to piggyback ride up.
It's such an accomplishment to climb Everest.
Right.
Yet these Sherpas, don't they do it for a living multiple times a year?
They do.
How hard can it be?
Because they're born up there. They're genetically attuned to do it. They have bigger lung capacity. They process oxygen differently. It's like
you're making this up.
No, I'm not. People that are born
that
in really
has to be the answer, Bean. Because how else would they
it's
do
true.
It?
People that are born in really high altitudes are kind of adapted to it. So and look, it's no. I think it's no picnic for them either. But they're paid. It's a tough economy. There's a lot of controversy about, you know, a lot of Sherpas die up there, too. So it's a hard job, I think, for them as well. But they are more accustomed to it.
I heard there are a lot of rich people who have the money to do it. So they pay people and then they try to use the Sherpas. And there's a lot of people that die that way because they're not in shape.
Yeah.
They're not climbers. They shouldn't be doing that.
Totally. And if you like one of the, you know, the most famous account of Everest is that Into Thin Air book by John Krakauer.
One of the only books I've ever finished in my entire life.
It's an awesome book. But there are people in that book.
It's like one of the three books.
And some of the people that Krakauer talks about in that book are people who've who are really rich, who've paid their way up there, who are not necessarily in the right shape to do it. I mean, being up there, being at base camp was awesome. I was totally in awe of the climbers and the Sherpas that were there. But you look up from there, you know, Everest is 29,000 feet.
Yeah.
You're like just over halfway.
All right, I'm down with Chernobyl. I'm not down with Everest.
Yeah, no, that's a biggie.
I don't want to try
All right,
that.
So Josh is planning your next couple of vacations for you with his visit here today.
Exactly.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. When we come back, more with our friend Josh Gates, host of Expedition Unknown. When we return, by the way, we'll talk about tonight's episode where Josh goes out looking for Nazi treasure. How many people get a chance to do that and get paid for it, by the way? That sounds super cool. We'll talk about it next on K-Rock.
Who wants to throw up?
Josh has the worst stories.
Josh, tell us about the sour toe cocktail.
Hold on. Stop right there. Before you do that, Josh, don't say a word. Josh Gates is here, by the way, host of Expedition Unknown, tonight on the Travel Channel at 9. We got to give away something real fast, though. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean prevent it. We don't prevent
we don't
it.
Prevent as much it.
We present it. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness is coming up fast, Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium. By now, you know it's a great comedy lineup, including our friend Bill Burr and David Koechner and Jimmy Pardo and so much more. You can buy tickets at AXS.com, or you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for this time around, Kevin?
Well, we're not fans of jokes because people tell jokes poorly. So we're looking for only the punchline.
Oh, okay.
Just give us the punchline to the joke. That's all. And then we'll pick the best one, and then you'll get a pair of tickets.
So you call in, you go, my punchline is, hey, wait a minute, that's not a duck. And then if we're intrigued enough, then we find out what the joke
is. Right, but don't use that one.
Not that one, right. All right, Josh.
Sour toe cocktail.
Sour toe cocktail is a thing that's been in your mouth, right?
What a weird intro. Yes. If you're looking for, boy, if I had a nickel.
Right.
If you're looking for a delicious bespoke cocktail, may I recommend Dawson Canada, in the Yukon.
Okay.
They have a drink in this bar called the Sour Toe Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shot of whiskey
mm-hmm.
with a human toe in it.
Nope.
And
I think he's saying yes. I'm saying no.
And the deal is that people in the town, because I'm sure you're thinking, where does the toe come from?
Right.
People in the town donate their toes.
What?
To the bar. I don't know why they do it.
What are you talking about?
This is a real thing.
They wanted to knock on the door and say, hey, we need a toe?
I guess they put it in their will. I don't know.
They spin a wheel, and then they just come to your house and cut off your toe.
I don't think there's a lot going on in Dawson, in fairness.
Right, but who's giving up toes?
Well, people in Dawson.
People want to keep the tradition alive,
I guess. And so then you drink the shot, and in order for it to count, the toe has to touch your lips.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Oh.
And I will say this. This is maybe the craziest part. There is I believe it's a $5,000 fine
mm-hmm.
if you swallow the toe, which means that's definitely happened at least once.
It did happen once.
They had to put a fine on
yeah.
it.
Right.
So someone either was so drunk or so hungry for a decayed human toe.
And it's got the toenail.
Got barted.
Right? The toenail.
Got barted.
Right. I'm looking
fabulous.
At a picture.
Right.
Outstanding. Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Right.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Got barted.
Who's hungry?
Yeah.
Yep.
It
good
is.
Got barted.
Who's hungry?
It's an old, just frostbitten toe with the toenail on
You're
it.
You looking at the picture?
I am.
It's not pleasant.
It's gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you
that
drink
touched
it?
Your
I did,
lip.
Yeah.
You drank it.
I did it. I had to.
I just said
and drink. I got yeah, I drank the hell out of it. And I got to hand it, both of my camera guys did it too. So I get big props to that.
Wow. If you're wondering why Josh did that, it's because he'll do anything for his TV show Expedition Unknown and has all over the world. He's in the third season right now on the Travel Channel Wednesday nights at 9. It's already been renewed for a fourth season, so congratulations, Josh. Tonight's episode looks fascinating because I guess there's a lot of stolen Nazi treasure that's still out there, right?
Yeah, the Nazis, if you're familiar
with
them.
They were the bad guys.
They were the bad guys.
They were the bad guys.
They were the bad guys, and they took a lot of very valuable stuff. And tonight's episode is in Corsica, which is an island, a beautiful island I'd never been to in the Mediterranean, kind of in between France and Italy. And a very famous Nazi general named Erwin Rommel, who was called the Desert Fox, which is a pretty awesome nickname. That's the thing mm-hmm. about the Nazis. Bad guys, great nicknames.
Great nicknames, yeah.
Great nicknames. Yeah. The Desert Fox, are you kidding?
Right. Yeah. Nice That's drop. Like Scud Stud. Yeah. Remember him?
So anyway, the Desert Fox, Erwin Rommel, he went through North Africa. He was a very famous Nazi tank commander, and he looted a bunch of treasure off of North Africa that is rumored to be hidden somewhere in the island of Corsica and has never been found.
All right, now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Don't you think – I've seen references to this on many, many, many TV shows. Like this is a thing that they always incorporate that they're looking for. How has someone not found it if it's there?
Totally, right? Except that every couple of years – somebody turns up some insane trove of Nazi art that's tucked away in an attic.
Is that or hidden. Right?
It happens all the time. It just happened a few years ago. Somebody found millions of dollars worth of Nazi art that was hidden in, I think it was somewhere in Germany, that was hidden in some guy's attic. Ooh. You know, a lot of this stuff, the Nazis were also big into tunneling and underground projects and built a lot of their weaponry and airplane stuff underground. So there are all sorts of Nazi tunnels and kind of cemented up and kind of bombed in tunnels that still have not been discovered. So it is a possibility.
When you're hosting that episode, while you're filming it, you realize not only am I making interesting TV, but I literally could be part of history here if I find something.
If you found something, do you quit and go home?
For sure. I'm like drinking human toes for fun, guys. Are you nuts?
That episode airs tonight at 9 on the Travel Channel. Speaking of things that people have been looking for a long time, well, first of all, look how long it took them to find the Titanic. They looked for the Titanic
right?
for 80 years before they
That's
found
right.
it, right? You tried to find the Covenant of the Ark last season, right?
Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant.
Either
the other
one.
Way, right.
Either one.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I would imagine thousands of people have been on that trail in history.
You know, to be honest, it was an episode I kind of avoided for a while because I felt like, man,
you saw that guy's face just melt.
I saw that guy, that Nazi's face melted.
Right.
I don't want that action. I'm not interested in that.
I don't want that action.
That thing's dangerous.
I'll eat a toe, but I'm not
I'm not going to my face melt off. For God's sake. lightning was shooting into those guys' bellies and stuff. I'm not interested in that.
What changed your mind?
You know, I felt like, man, everyone has done this show in this space. Lots of explorers have gone looking for this. And, you know, it's the most famous archaeological relic in the world, thanks to Raiders of the Lost Ark. And so I thought, man, I don't want to do this unless we can bring something new to it. And the more that we looked into it, the more that we realized there is a lot of new stuff going on. The Ark was in Jerusalem. It was housed in the Temple of Solomon and then vanished from history. And the Bible makes no mention of where it went, but it was housed in this huge temple in the middle of Jerusalem. Babylonians sacked the city. They may have carted it off with them when they left. It may have been hidden beneath Jerusalem before the Babylonians came there. So the underside of Jerusalem is a total treasure trove of tunnels and ancient streets, and almost none of it has been excavated, like 1% of it.
What?
Because it's all argued over, because parts of it are in the Arab quarter, in the Jewish quarter, in the Christian quarter. It's like this total political hotbed.
So who owns it?
Almost, it's kind of like anytime somebody tries to put a shovel in the earth there, it causes, you know, like the brink of war. So,
but you were cool. You just said, "Hey, everybody, I'm going I'm good."
Right? No, there was a
I eat toes. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. John Gates, toe eater. I have it on a card. I showed it to people. No, there were archaeologists there who had found a new tunnel near the city of David, and that had not been explored, that went underneath the old city. And so this was an opportunity to explore a piece of hidden Jerusalem that had never been really filmed before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
We didn't. Well, my face would not be here if I had.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously. But we did, you know, in this tunnel, we actually found, which was kind of mind-blowing to me, there was a famous explorer in the 1800s who went there, and we found his name written on the wall of this tunnel. He had kind of tagged the wall.
Is that right?
And so to see this guy's name, you know, hundreds of years later on this wall was such a cool link to, wow, there was this explorer that was here, you know, centuries
ago.
Should
have so put him in jail for tagging.
I know, right? Right? Yeah. It's amazing about graffiti. If it's there long enough, it turns into something cool.
What a fascinating show, fascinating job, fascinating life, Josh. I'm sorry for your baby who grew up without a father, but I'm so happy for us that you're doing another season. That's great.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Wednesday nights at 9 on the Travel Channel, and tonight's episode is Corsica's Nazi Treasure. Check it out. Josh, you're welcome back anytime, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Allie, what did it do to your heart to see Rivers Cuomo out there on Kimmel last night in his little sunsuit? So cute, right?
So cute.
I would love to see Bean in that. That would be so great.
Doing their new song. That's Weezer on K-Rock. Hey, let's give away these tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and whoever is the winner of the Kevin and Bean opening act contest. They will all be together along with you at the Shrine on April 1st. By the way, I'm being told that these tickets that we're about to give away include the Big Lee section and the pre-party.
Oh.
How about
that's
that?
VIP parking.
Yeah, the whole deal. So pretty sweet deal for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking punchlines.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into April Foolishness.
All right, we don't want the joke, we just want the punchline. Who is our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Jen, who is calling us from West Covina. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Are you being tased? It didn't sound like it, didn't it? You all right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just nervous.
Okay. I think she's got some of that Chernobyl radiation going on that Josh Gates was talking about. This is weird.
All right, Jen, give us your punchline.
Because he saw the salad dressing.
Because he saw the salad dressing.
Okay.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Tony in Anaheim. Hi.
What's going on, Kevin and Bean?
Punchline. That's all we're looking for. What do you got?
You got it, man. Because the teacher told her to do an essay.
I think we see where that is going, and I think we like it. All right, hang on, Tony.
All right, Lauren is next from Northridge. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Give us your punchline, please.
If you stick that thing in me again, I'm going to break it in half.
Oh, like I haven't heard that a million times. Okay. All right, thank you, Lauren.
Rocky in Long Beach. Hi there.
Yo, hey.
You know, Bean's nickname when he was a baby was Rocky, right?
What was that?
Bean's nickname when he was a baby was Rocky.
No, I had no idea.
All right, just letting you know.
So I'm saying I'm rooting for you here. He's a great punchline.
He's a fellow Rocky.
Oh,
what's your punchline?
Okay, all right. So you gave me $2. What did you expect, lobster?
Okay.
All right. I am intrigued by that.
Mm. Hold on. Let's go to Brad in Orange. Hi, Brad.
I don't know, but he's driving me nuts.
Boo.
Why are you booing him?
Because we've all lived through too many talk like a pirate days to ever need to hear that joke again.
Bean is a dick.
Anthony and Covina.
What's up, party people?
Talking punchlines. What do you got for us?
For drizzle my nizzle.
Good delivery, by the way, Anthony.
That was a great delivery. All right. Hold on. Let's go to Dave and Dana Point.
The taste.
Did you say the taste?
Yep.
Okay.
Concerning and intriguing.
All right, I like that.
Also, excellent delivery.
Right. All right. And lastly is Manuel?
Yes.
Okay. From Los Angeles.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there. Punchline is what's going on. What do you got?
I hope it's mine.
I hope it's mine.
I like that, too.
All right.
Damn it. This is hard, you guys.
Does anybody have a favorite?
I'm very intrigued by the taste, but I also love you gave me $2. What did you expect? Lobster. I like them both.
I like both those, too.
Yeah.
Do you like one better than the other?
I think I'm a taste man.
Oof.
I'm a drizzle man.
Really? Drizzle man.
I might be a lobster girl.
Let's do a drawing.
All right. Okay.
Let's do a drawing.
All right. So we've got tickets in the Big Lee party before the show for Kevin Beats April Foolishness, April 1st at the Shrine. Great lineup. Buy your tickets at AXS.com. Let's find out who's going to win them instead.
Well, Kevin gets to hear his. It's Anthony with Faux Drizzle.
Anthony.
All right.
Does Anthony tell us the joke now?
Yes.
I believe so. Anthony, what is
the
joke?
Here's the payoff.
The joke is, what does Snoop Dogg use an umbrella for?
For drizzle my nizzle.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You happy with yourself, Kevin?
Hey, it was great.
That's unsatisfactory.
Kevin, punchline, punchline, punchline. Yeah! Punchline, punchline, punchline.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Allie is in for Ralph now for the lick of the showbiz beat. What's going on, Allie?
Well, the A&E Network is picking up a new take on its series, Biography. TV Line reports the new series will reportedly focus on the most meaningful moments in our culture. Here's a list of some of the episodes.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you. I am all in.
All right.
Vladimir Putin. Biggie Smalls.
Okay.
Tupac Shakur. Mike Tyson. Mafia Don, John Gotti Jr.,
wow,
kidnapping survivor Elizabeth Smart, and cult leader David Koresh.
Wow.
What? I'm watching all of those.
And that's not a show I watch.
Right?
Wow, that's impressive.
That is impressive. The new biography will start up later this spring on A&E. So good stuff right there. We've all been wondering, where the heck is the Carmichael show? They've been doing such weird things with it. Like, it was on this day, and then randomly it was on 4 days later, but it was 2 episodes, and then it was just gone.
Yeah, and it's really good.
It's so good. So this is odd news, because we don't even know when it's really coming back. But they just had their big summer press day on Monday, and the Carmichael show was there. And they mentioned they will reportedly be using the N-word in an upcoming episode about 6 times. So that was the big news on that show. And Jerrod Carmichael told reporters, we know what we're talking about. We're not speaking to children. It's going to be a parental advisory warning show. But at least now we know it's coming back. So that's the good takeaway from that, I guess.
If you've seen that show, you know that show can handle that topic.
They do everything really well.
Yes.
Really well on that show. Dancing with the Stars premiered Monday night and had the smallest audience for any of its premieres. It is season 24.
Right.
So maybe people just kind of have Dancing with the Stars fatigue. Maybe they're just not all
in.
There's
not very many stars.
Well, Chris Kattan, Mr. T.
And now you're out.
I'm out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But 11.9 million total viewers, which still seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, that's a big audience. It's just not big for them, I think.
Right, yeah. Big, but did not top Monday's edition of The Voice. Wait, still big enough to top Monday's edition of The Voice, which is down 13% from the week before. So, I mean, 11.9 million viewers.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
For Dancing with the Stars.
That's what I'm saying. This is good news for me. Stephen Colbert continues to top Jimmy Fallon in the ratings. This is the 7th consecutive week that CBS TV's Late Show beat NBC's Tonight Show among total viewers.
That is shocking.
That is shocking. However, you know, there's always that, oh, the total viewers versus the demo, the age group. Fallon still beats Colbert in the desirable 18 to 49 age group with a nearly 40% lead.
Wow.
What? Nearly 40% lead in that demo, but again, Colbert has more total viewers.
Look,
it's just insane.
I understand that my opinion is, you know, you have to take into account that I'm friends with Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
I don't understand how anyone could watch Fallon.
Right.
Over Kimmel.
Yeah.
I don't understand one person.
But he sings with them.
Fallon just drives me crazy.
And he plays little kid instruments with them. And sometimes he has water and he spits it on them.
I don't get it.
No. I don't either. But Stephen Colbert, I mean, he came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was doing really poorly.
Really bad. So that's some impressive stuff. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? William Shatner, 86 years old today. Bob Costas, 65. Matthew Modine is 58. Keegan-Michael Key is 46. Reese Witherspoon, 41. Constance Wu is 35. And Tyler Oakley is 28. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We are going to Las Vegas for a singles party. What you all have in common is that you are Kevin and Bean listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You're single, we hope.
That's important.
If you're not single, go ahead and hang up. Because we're looking for single people.
Mm-hmm.
So you like K-Rock, you like the Kevin and Bean show. Mm-hmm. That's not a hard one. But everybody has that in common at the singles party. So now we're taking calls from people. This is the final time we're giving away tickets. What are we missing by not having you there? And we have a 20-second timer. Chip, you're going to run the timer. And we're going to start with Rose in Long Beach. Now, Rose, before we have you sell yourself, we would like to say that we know that you like to have fun,
mm-hmm.
and for everybody else on hold, and we know that you like to party.
Yeah.
Those are givens.
Yeah, we don't need you to mention that.
Right. All right. You have 20 seconds. Go.
Okay. I'm single. I love theme parks. I love Vegas. I have a cool single friend that I could bring, and I love Kevin and B. I don't know what else to say.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm nervous.
No, that's all right.
It says on the screen you love hiking.
Oh, yeah. And I go hiking.
You know you can get murdered when
don't
you hike,
don't talk
right?
her out of hiking. Rose? She's hiking is good for her.
I'm just saying, Rose.
Don't talk her out of it.
Stop hiking.
Hold on, Rose. Thank you. Let's go to Hector in Diamond Bar. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, party people.
Good morning, right, Hector.
You understand the rules now. You got 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You like to have fun. You like to party. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
And go.
I'm in the arts, Ansel Adams, photography. I love music. I love to cook Cajun food. I go to the gym. I'm very clean. I've been to every Coachella. I have an extra ticket, by the way. Big foodie. Mm. I love pizza. I smell good.
Yeah.
Dolce & Gabbana. I have a pet puppy. I'm a hard worker. I have a great job.
Wow.
I don't live at my mom's.
Hector.
I love to gamble. And you guys have to take
Hector.
Me. To
Hector. Your
so
time is up.
Hector,
your time is up.
Your
and
time
I think
is
you're
up.
In.
Your time is up. You're in. And I want to date you.
I think he should meet Rose.
Okay. You hold on, okay?
Awesome. Thanks.
Wow.
I mean,
that's the way to do it.
He smells good. Dolce & Gabbana.
You threw that in there? Let's go to Edgar and Downey. Hi there.
Boop, boop, boop. What's up, party?
You're in.
I'm in.
You're in. Congratulations. Hold on. Let's go to Nick in Santa Clarita. Hi, Nick.
Morning.
Not
oh,
in.
Oh, Nick.
I feel like you're not in.
No, I need to go. I'm taken. Come on.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, Nick, pump yourself up, because that was a hello.
All right, 20 seconds, go.
All right, well, I'm 21. I just turned 21. Never been to Vegas. I absolutely need to go, so a free trip would be perfect from K-Rock. Mm-hmm. And keep this on the down low, but I haven't been laying a couple months, so I need to go. Allie, you know where I'm coming from, right?
I do. And I'd like you to meet Rose. Why do I keep offering Rose to these guys?
Rose may not want these guys. I'm not exactly
Rose
positive.
I'll take any color.
Hey, I have a question for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Fake IDs?
Right?
I mean, that's sort of lame.
How have you never been to Vegas?
You're 21. How do you not have a fake ID?
I don't know.
Can't
keep this on.
Can't
keep this on the down low.
You never. Oh, so you did have one. So you have an IDs. Okay, good. All right.
I'm not saying I haven't, but.
All right, you're in. You're in. Congratulations. Let's go to Eddie in Paramount. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Last chance. What are we missing by not having you there? You have 20 seconds. Go.
All right. I'm an hour away from taking my last organic chemistry midterm at Cal State Long Beach. I'm a pre-med student. I'm a full-time student, part-time massage therapist. Mm-hmm. I just got out of a four-year-long relationship, and I'm 22 years old. So I'm just, if there's any time for me to cut loose and make absolutely horrible decisions, it's this weekend.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He's pre-med and a massage therapist. I would like you to meet Rose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Allie's hooking everybody up with Rose.
Yeah.
All right. You win. You're in.
Awesome.
Congratulations. I mean, seriously, he's ready to make bad decisions. Yeah. That's what this is all about.
Should have led with that.
Let's go to Alex in Hermosa Beach. Hi there, Alex.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Sell yourself in 20 seconds. Go.
All right. Well, I just graduated from the University of Arizona this past May. I'm 23 years old. Not to brag, but I'm a pretty good-looking dude. I enjoy partying, but most, more important, I enjoy making people, I like making people enjoy parties, and I like having fun while other people are having fun.
All right, it's Alex.
Good looking, I work out.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you calling and listening, and goodbye.
I do not want Rose to meet you. Just, Rose, stay away from Alex.
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39. Time for one last look at the Showbiz Beat with Allie McKay and for Ralph Garman.
The full list of what's available on Record Store Day is out. Record Store Day this year is April 22nd. We're going to have releases from Prince, David Bowie, The Smiths, Bruce Springsteen, dozens of others, with exclusive vinyl releases and a cassette from Sir Paul McCartney. What?
You got through Bruce Springsteen's name.
I did.
Do you remember earlier this morning?
And now, a moment with Allie.
And some of the releases, Prince, David Bowie, Bruce Springsteen, what? Bruce Springsteen. You guys.
That was a moment with Allie.
I mean, I summed it up there at the end, though.
Sure.
You guys. Yeah. Words have been less than ideal today.
Words are hard.
Words are very hard. But you can get the list of all the goodies at recordstoreday.com. Remember when you had that guy on?
Oh, dear Lord.
He was a delight.
We didn't know enough about Record Day Store. We were trying to promote it.
Yeah.
And we didn't know enough about his particular store, so he said,
open up a blog.
Why would he say that?
He was very, very superior and looking down his nose at us. It was crazy.
A D-bag.
We were like, we're trying to publicize this. What's wrong with you?
I kind of respect it.
Open up a blog.
All right, sir. This, I shouldn't find joy in this, but I did because I feel like this makes Brad Pitt one of us. So he, of course, is trying to get over Angelina Jolie.
Angela Lansbury?
He had a rough go at things with Murder, She Wrote. They haven't been talking. Yeah, he's, you know, going through the divorce, the stuff with the kids, custody, all of that. Things are crazy. How's he getting over it? By listening to tons of sad music. The Daily Mail is reporting that he's taken up sculpture as a new hobby.
He's sculpturing?
He's sculpting.
Who picks that up?
Brad Pitt.
What?
But he's sculpting, and all day he just stays at the studio through the wee hours of the morning. And insiders say he works on his creations all night long while listening to emotional songs.
He doesn't use water, it's just tears.
I want to see this video so bad.
I do too.
Oh, man. What do you think he's making, though?
I don't know. What do you sculpt when you're first starting?
Like a bowl?
Probably.
That's it? Or like a mug? He just has all new mugs made of his tears. Oh, that's so sad, but I love it so much. I don't know why I didn't remember this was happening, but it is. Remember the movie Mean Girls?
Yes.
It's going to Broadway.
Is that right?
Yes, I didn't remember this, but Tina Fey's musical based on her movie Mean Girls will have its world premiere at the National Theater in Washington, D.C. Her husband wrote all the music. The show runs from October 31st through December 3rd before it moves to Broadway. So it's kind of the first run, check it out. And then Broadway, Mean Girls.
Wow.
I know.
That's a talented couple. That's annoying.
Right? She's the funniest woman in the world.
Right.
And her husband just writes a musical score.
That's it.
No big deal. Speaking of music, Bean was very excited about this. It is the Bee Gees tribute concert. They now have a date set. It is April 16th on CBS. It is Stayin' Alive, a Grammy salute to the music of the Bee Gees. I know.
I'm with you.
Right?
I know.
No, big old no on that.
No thanks.
RuPaul, this is something interesting. And I will watch this. TV Line is reporting that there's a new show which will start in the 1980s in New York City and show how RuPaul got his start. No network has picked up the show yet, but don't you kind of want to see RuPaul growing up, what he went through?
It must have been hell.
But then to see, like, all the drag shows in the 80s and 90s, and then what essentially made him one of the biggest stars today. I dig it. I want to see it. Meanwhile, the ninth season of RuPaul's Drag Race premieres Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on VH1. I'm all in for that. And Chuck Barris, the host and creator of The Gong Show, passed away yesterday, 87 years old. Here's the thing. He also created the dating game, the newlywed game. And if you saw the movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, that was based on his book because he claimed he was a former assassin for the CIA. That's a life well lived, all of that.
Was he an assassin for the CIA?
The CIA doesn't agree with that.
Right,
but
if he was,
would they?
If he was an assassin for the CIA, would they say, yeah, sure he is?
I don't think so.
Right, they would say no.
Right, so we're going with he totally was an assassin.
So they're confirming it by saying no.
See what you did.
See?
Yeah.
You got to look, read between the lines.
That's something I always respected about you, Kevin. You really delve deeper into stories. It's just what you do.
Thank you.
All right. Let's wrap this up, shall we?
We shall.
Or, first, let's talk about Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, come on.
Just so people stop tweeting the video to you, Kevin.
Look.
A few days ago, we went through the Reddit thread of tell me about your Kevin, because everybody seems to have a Kevin, and Kevin in movies, television, books
They're
tend
all
to
dumb.
Be not the brightest,
Kevin
not the
on
sharpest.
The Office.
Yes.
He was dumb. Kevin Bacon has come out and said he hates the name Kevin.
Yeah.
So
Kevin in Ghostbusters.
So Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune last night. I don't know. It's kind of an easy thing. All of the boxes were turned around, so it said a streetcar. Then it was named Desire, but in named, it was N-A, then the blank box for M, then the E-D. So you would think, okay, the guy just has to say the letter
there
M.
There was one letter left,
easy.
And the rest of it read,
yes.
A streetcar named Desire.
Simple, right?
Right.
Not when your name is Kevin.
There you go again, you have $1,600. Look at you, he's going for it. $600.
K.
No. Lisa.
M.
Yeah, there you go. And what do we have?
A streetcar named Desire.
Yeah, that's it. Well, funny little game. $650 will make it $1,000. And although you got the right answer, I'd rather see Kevin's play.
Right?
A streetcar naked Desire,
yeah,
is what Kevin thought it
apparently
was.
Apparently he had never heard of it.
No.
And people have sent that to me.
Mm-hmm. How many times do you think?
Probably 35 now, maybe 40.
Oh,
Chip, stop it.
Throughout the
Chip,
day.
Stop
Chip's going to tweet it again to you.
I've seen it. I've gotten it. I know the guy's name is Kevin.
Uh-huh.
It was not me.
Expect more.
Okay.
Because everybody's got a Kevin.
Yeah.
It's just true. All of these stars celebrating their birthday today. March 22nd, actor William Shatner is 86.
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama.
I mean,
life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
I love William Shatner.
I mean,
Shatner.
The range. The range. 86.
Yeah.
He's doing awesome.
Yeah.
Bob Costas, 65. Matthew Modine is 58. Keegan-Michael Key is 46. Actress Reese Witherspoon is 41. Constance Wu, 35. And YouTuber Tyler Oakley is 28. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon, 5 p.m., a commercial-free hour here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we talk March Madness as it is beginning the final 16. The last 16.
Sweet.
The 16 remaining.
I think it's sweet.
The sweet 16 and the elite 8. We're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas, and we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about that and other sports. We've got Dr. Drew on Thursdays, and we have comedian Ben Glebe on the program tomorrow, and your tickets for April Foolishness tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.